Welcome back to Making It Work in Montana. My name is David Boy, and I'm here today with Jenna Gilliland.
Hi, Dave. Hi, everyone.
And Making It Work in Montana is about whatever I think is interesting about making it work in Montana.
Indeed.
We're up to about 20 episodes now, and this episode is great because it just came to me naturally, but Jenna was featured on our Black Diamond Mortgage videos about homeownership stories, and she offhandedly mentioned something in her story about the property that she had bought that I said, this is a whole show in and of itself. So Jenna and her husband have bought a property in Flathead Valley, Montana, and it came with a gift that they weren't expecting. And so that's what we want to talk about today. I want you to think about the movie We Bought a Zoo from a few years back that I've seen. It's a funny movie about a family that tries to run a zoo, and they buy one. And so anyway, Jenna, tell me a little bit about your recent home purchase. You bought a property in Montana. What happened?
Okay, well, so when we went to look at the house, Dave, we saw that they had chickens, geese, rams, and ewes. Okay, tons, like several. And we were presented with the opportunity to adopt some of the rams. So the gentleman had said, okay, we've sold off. My wife has already sold off the ewes. Do you want any chickens or rams? Well, my husband was like, no chickens. Right.
Can I interrupt you real quick? I'm a total livestock rookie. I know nothing. Okay. What's a ewe?
A ewe is like a female sheep.
Okay, female sheep. Thank you.
Yeah. So the rams are the males with the big ol' horns. Okay.
But they're not coming with the property, and the rams are.
Yes. Okay. So my husband says absolutely no to the chickens, which to me it's like they seemed a little bit easier, but nevertheless, he said, okay, we can keep a couple rams if I can have a kitten, because they also had kittens.
Okay. So part of the real estate negotiation is the bartering of the animals.
Yes.
Wow.
So we ended up with three rams and a kitten.
Just so you know, on the lending side, we don't consider any value to the animals on the property.
Noted.
But you guys did, because you were bartering.
We animals. Did. Okay. I was pumped. They actually, it was kind of like, hey, we'll throw a couple in if you want some. And that was my goal. Like, I wanted to have, we are working towards having livestock. So I thought, why not start with three rams, you know?
It's something right I would never think of. So I can imagine being in. So prior to this, had you guys been livestock people, or had you owned property with animals?
No.
Okay. So as a family, you guys are buying this property, and one of the goals is to start to experience this. And then just the curveball is, and there's rams on the property.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. And so when you do buy a property with livestock goals and objectives, just to maybe give us a vision of this property, like how big is the property? What do you think, how much livestock can you keep on the property?
So we have about just over 5 acres.
Okay.
The front pastures are already all fenced in because they had the rams. We have a shop and kind of a back barn area with stalls and everything, a big chicken coop, chicken run. And then the neighboring property, actually, this is older gentleman who's just the best ever. He also has about 5 or 6 acres. And he has said, because he loves our family and the kids, that we could also use his back pastures. So,
okay, great. So if you guys get into it, you have a little support with extra property.
Yeah. So our goal, so my love is cows. So Highland cows, we're on some waiting lists for some miniature Highland cows.
So a Highland cow, just a small diversion here, but how does it differ from another kind of cow?
Well, the Highlands are the ones with the big old
Oh, okay. Horns, the I've Scottish seen Highlands. These, yeah. Yep.
They're hairier.
yeah, I've seen these. Okay.
So we're not like looking to have like, we couldn't necessarily have like a huge, you know, farm. We don't have a ton of room, but I'd like to have eventually, you know, a Highland, a milking cow, some goats. I did not ever think I'd have rams.
Now, without the consideration of raising rams, is there any other ram connection in your life prior to the property? Like, did you think rams were cool? Or?
I honestly had no, I didn't even know about them.
Okay.
I had no clue.
Do you know at this point, because I know you've now acquired the rams, and you guys have done basically a winter with rams. We're not done with winter yet. This is March of 2023.
I know.
So it feels like maybe winter's over, but it's probably not. Tell me if you know. If you don't, say I don't know. Is a bighorn sheep and a ram, like, what's the difference?
I have no clue.
I don't either, but I see. I do a lot of mountain climbing.
I feel like I should
know. So just to be clear, she mentioned in the homeownership video, Jenna did, that there's rams, and immediately I'm like, who has rams on their property? Because all I'm thinking of is I climb mountains, and I love climbing mountains, and one of the highlights is occasionally, not very often, I will be up high in the mountains, and I will come across rams or bighorn sheep.
Yes.
And I actually don't really know the difference, but I know the look of the ram horn. And so yes. I'll see them and I'm like, wow, it's special. And then not at all thinking that I would have these on my property back when I get home, you know.
I know.
Well, so that's I just know that they're cool and I see them in really rugged terrain and the high country. And then I'm like, wow, people raise rams. Like, never heard of it. I'm 50. Hadn't heard of it until you mentioned it.
Well, I hadn't either. Okay. So, and these are called Barbados Black Belly. So they actually aren't ones that you have to like shear or anything like that. They're kind of interesting. I had asked the previous owner, like, okay, so what do you do with them? Like, you know, so they actually had gotten them, I think, with the goal to eat them because they're lean meat. However, he said they were great pets and the neighbors like them and they keep all the front pastures, you know, chewed down, obviously. So, like, you got your own.
So there's a little utility.
Yeah.
Okay.
And honestly, Dave, I will say they're actually pretty cool. I think I share this with you a little bit, but I think it's worth noting that. So you get all excited, right? You're like, I'm moving in this property, my dream property. I already have livestock, right? That's the goal. But now I already have some rams. And then you get there, you move in, and you're like, now what? Like, what do I do with them? And it's interesting because I equate this to, it's kind of interesting. I equate it to, like, you know, you marry someone that has kids and you already have like new children that you don't know anything about. Like, I didn't raise them. I don't know their temperament. Right. And they have those big old horns. So they're kind of scary. You look at them and you're like, okay, if I come in here to change their water, like, are they, what do I do? Like, I don't know. They don't know me. Should I? Just don't turn your back on them. Like, okay, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing.
So let's just hit that. So are they kind, nice animals, or do they have an attitude? Like, what are these rams like on the property?
So I would say initially they were just as skeptical of us as I was of them.
Because I'll clarify, my wife has recently got into horses, and I have two horses, and we are like you in the ram arena in that we are learning everything.
Yes.
So I've just now come to learn that when the horses are in these, they call them paddocks, but you have a bunch of horses and they don't get their own piece of property. So they have to learn to get along together. And there's all these dynamics. Are the rams like that, or how are they on the property?
So they have the whole front pasture and they just kind of live their best life out there. I mean, they get along. Sometimes they ram each other. There's definitely a dominant one. I call him Humphrey.
So the ramming each other. So is that playing around, or is that them letting the other one know I'm the boss?
Yeah. Asserting dominance for sure.
Okay. So even though they're in a domestic setting, they still do that.
Yes. I mean,
is it cool to watch? Or?
Yeah, they're cool. I mean, the noise, you're like, holy crap. Like that's like they have huge horns and it's intense.
And they just bang horns against each other. You have this going on at your house.
Not like, yes, I do. And they'll ram the side of each other. You know, like
it's like
not
preparation
even
for the kids becoming teenagers.
Yes.
Okay. Because so, your kid, exactly. Your oldest is 9 right now.
Yes, my oldest is 9.
So now watching the rams.
Yeah, this is like the story of my life. Actually, my two boys are like that. I'm like, here we go. But It's interesting. I mean, they're kind of cool. At first, I feel like they were leery of us, right? They kind of look at you. Their eyes are far apart, and they look at you through the side of their eye. They have these big yellow eyes.
So they look kind of out to
kinda
the side?
Out, mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think my husband said, I think that's a prey thing, you know? When you're prey, like, you have to, I don't know, be looking every which way. But anyway, so they're interesting. But I feel like as the months have gone by, you kind of start to know each other. Like, and so they now, when I get home, or first thing in the morning before I leave, they start to talk to me. You know, they do their ram noises. And like,
now you're,
they want you to
come
see them.
Can you give me a ram noise?
I think I probably could.
It might
my
be more,
does it so much
might
better.
Be too intimidating on a podcast, but I have no idea what a ram noise is other than.
Kind of sounds like a goat.
Okay.
Yes. So now.
So they make a noise like that?
They do that.
And what are they conveying when they make that noise?
I mean, I think they're like, Mom, come feed me.
They want some attention?
Yeah, they want attention. So okay. I go over there and I feed him and yeah. But we didn't start like that, Dave. Like, literally, at first they look at me, I look at them. They didn't know me. Okay. I didn't know them. You know, we had to kind of get acclimated.
So they now recognize you as their provider, yes. Owner. Okay.
I think they do.
And did you say you have three rams?
Okay, oh. Dave, why'd you have to bring
oh,
that
no,
up?
I'm sorry.
Let's
go ahead and let's just face
just
the elephant in the room.
Okay, we had three.
The ram in the room.
We now have two.
Oh.
Unfortunately. I know. It makes me feel like a terrible ram mom. Thanks for bringing that up.
Can you tell us what happened? Because
So one day I got home from work and they were talking. I went inside to tell my husband that I was going to go feed the rams in a bit. And he's like, oh, I'll go out and take care of it. I'm like, all right. They came in and he's like, babe, I'm like, what? He's like, one of the rams died. I'm like, what do you say? What do you mean one of the rams died? How do you know? He's like, he's on the ground. I'm like, okay, but like, what if he's sleeping? He's like, he's not. I lifted up one of his
So
lines.
He checked to see if he was.
He checked.
Okay.
He's an ER nurse.
Oh, wow.
Not a ram doctor, but I mean, it's
right.
One
not
of the same,
a veterinary.
Right? At this part, yeah. He kind of knows, right? So I said, well, how? I wonder. And that's the thing. Like, you don't really know. Like, how would you know how? Other than it was right after it was like super cold again. And during the winter, I have found and I've kind of heard you really want to feed them even more so that it can, you know, their energy is trying to keep them warm. And so you got to not overfeed them, but feed them more than you normally would. He was the smaller of the three. And so you almost wonder like, okay, is this survival of the fittest? Like, I don't know. He didn't look like any predator had gotten to him, but he did have a weird spot on his side that looked, I don't know if the other ones rammed him when they were trying to eat. But I did ask my neighbor, I consulted my neighbor because he's grown up on a farm and he just said, anything with a heartbeat can die. I'm like, okay, Jim. Well,
so when you think about raising animals on your property, it's like, this is
part of it.
Part of it is the life and death experience.
Yeah. And actually, we were talking to our kiddos about it. Okay, my kids are 9, 7, and 3. And my husband's like, we're going to have to talk to kids about this, right? So he actually asked the big kids to come help them, you know, and we just explained to them, like, this is kind of the circle of life and life on a farm. I mean, every animal kind of has its purpose and its job on the farm, and we have to be mindful of that. And it's hard, right? I mean, it's sad. My little three-year-old's like, are you sure you didn't go to Barb's house? I'm like, who's Barb? He's like, remember, Mom, when they got out one time and went and visited the neighbor, Barb. I forgot her name, but apparently it's Barb. And I was like, nobody, he's no longer with us. So he kind of was like, huh? And I told him the ram went to ram heaven and he's like, so where's his body? I'm like, well, currently it's still outside. But anyways, so.
So I have a friend who does the whole thing. They do pigs, horses. And so with the pigs, it's crazy because they name the pigs,
yeah.
They raise them and then they eat them. And they actually sit at the table and they're like, we're eating, you know.
Yeah, this is hungry.
And this is, but they've been, the kids, by the time they go from all the way to 18, they've seen the life cycle a couple times because with enough animals on the property, you know, like they have several horses. Occasionally, dad has to go out and put a horse down because something happens. And it's like with a horse, they only they can get injured to the point where they're not really able to survive. And
right.
And then like the other animals, you're raising them to eat them.
Right.
And so, yeah, I can appreciate just the craziness of if you're not normally, if you're just thinking pets, then it's a different environment.
Right. It was definitely a learning experience for us, but I think a good one for our kids because, I mean, the whole point, and I think I've shared this with you before, if I haven't, the whole point of us wanting to embark on this journey is that, you know, we want our kids to grow up outside. We want them to understand the value of hard work. We want them to get up and, you know, go do their chores with the animals before we sit down to eat. I mean, that's really a big part of it. So unfortunately, it was sad that the ram died, but it is kind of part of the process. I think if anything, you question, okay, what could I have done different? I just became a ram mom. So like, I need to figure this out, you know? So it's
interesting. No, we're allowed to be, you and I on this podcast are allowed to get any of the answers wrong. I just became a horse owner in the last couple of years, and I say the dumbest things around people that have been raising horses their whole life.
Yeah.
But I do own two horses, and I am in the game trying to. I'm a man in the arena trying to figure it out.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't even keep them on my property, so I have that little bit of buffer. so there's like a barn and all that. But so let me ask you. So if the Do you know at this point, do the rams, are there basically two categories, domesticated and wild? Or do people that start to bring, do they get a wild ram and domesticate it? Do you know how it works?
I don't think they take a wild ram and domesticate
so,
it. I think they're
bred. So there's just like a culture of rams that people keep on their property and they barter and get them.
From what way. I understand, and when we kept those three, he made it seem like there were others in town that do this like for a living. So I have not plugged into all of those areas,
sure.
But yeah, I do understand.
I Googled it because you are coming to do this podcast.
Awesome. So,
and I found other people talking about it. And because prior to you mentioning it, I've lived 50 years on this earth. I did not know rams were domesticated on people's property. So now that I think about it, I feel like a lot of animals have been domesticated, and there's always niche people doing niche things, but it just hadn't occurred to me. All right, crazy question, and you can say you don't know or you can tell me the answer.
Uh-oh.
Do you milk rams? I just don't know.
It reminds me of
that. The reason I'm asking is because I have a friend who has goats.
Oh, yeah.
And they milk goats. And they so
well, rams,
rams
are males. I don't think
they're only males.
Well, no, there's ewes and there's rams, but okay. I only have rams.
Okay, so
I have zero
right there,
if you
so
do that.
Rams are the guys.
Yes.
Okay. Good to know. So, yeah, I wouldn't milk one.
That reminds me of the Meet the Fockers. Like, you can milk anything with nipples. Like, I don't know. We have rams. I don't milk the rams.
Okay, so you're not in it. So then,
I am not in it to milk these
things. You're not trying to get some people that when they have the goats on the property, like milk is part of the agenda. And
well, I do want a milking cow eventually.
So when you get the cows that you're going to get, you'll get into the routine of milking the cows. Okay.
Yes.
But for the rams, they're basically an animal that's providing a little utility on the property.
Yes.
Do you guys intend to eat the rams at the end?
I don't think so.
Will you... will you have somebody that wants to eat the ram eat it?
I mean...
Maybe?
Maybe.
Okay, so you haven't got that far yet.
I haven't got that far yet.
And, but from what you understand, the people that had the rams before you got the property were thinking about eating them someday. Okay.
Like they legitimately purchased them with that intent because they're a lean protein.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what they taste like?
I have no clue, but I feel like lamb chops. People eat that all the time.
Sure. That would make sense.
Yeah. I've never been into lamb to eat. So honestly, like the thought of eating them is just not a thing for me.
Now, since you're mentioning that you might try to get cow, what are those cows you're trying to get again?
Highlands.
The Highland cows.
Yes.
Will you try to coexist them with the rams?
So no, we'd probably have them on... Our pasture has it is separated, but there's a way to go back and forth. We would keep them separate.
Okay. And then are they likely to get into confrontations with each other, or is it just easier to manage having them on separate pieces of grass? I know with the horses, one of the things that I didn't think about until I got horses is they battle each other for the food.
Yeah, I just kind of wonder what that would look like. One, because I feel like typically when, and I don't know, I'm not an expert, right? I'm still figuring this out. But I think a lot of the times when you have like cows and things that are coexisting, they've grown up together. These rams, like that has been their territory for the last several years. So I really feel like if I brought in a new cat, like I just don't know how that would work.
Yeah, I don't either. And so what about, like, do you have a dog?
Okay, yes, I have four dogs.
How does the dog interact with the ram?
So my lab just, she'll run around and she's kind of like, they're cool, whatever. My shepherd is like, I'm going to eat those things. She has a high prey drive, so that's interesting. And then we have a hound, and he's just the cutest, but he's a baby and he's still figuring out. So I have not put him with them. He'll go over to look at them, but I've not put him in their pasture. And then I have a little old dog who could care less. He'll go over to see him, but doesn't want to be around him.
So my dogs have occasionally gotten with a deer to the point where it wasn't them chasing the deer, because we have deer and whitefish that just kind of hang out in town. And so then the relationship starts to change where the dog's like, I'm going to chase you. And the deer's like, well, I'm just going to hang out right here. And then they're like, oh, well. And so there might be barking, or there might be like, maybe I'll change the relationship. So is that kind of how it looks? Like they're figuring it out?
Yeah,
how to deal with each other?
I would say with my shepherd, though, like she has such a high prey drive. And there was one time she went towards them, and they'll turn and they'll look, you know, they put their head down like they're going to come for you. And she, I've never seen her run so fast. But I could see her. I don't ever really see them like, I don't know, maybe as she gets older, but she's young and she's definitely like, ooh, these guys look fun. And they're kind of like, no, thank you. So they will definitely turn and try to ram her. It stresses me out. But my lab, they seem to all kind of just go around each other.
Okay.
Okay enough. Yeah.
So it's a 5-acre property. Do the rams keep all the grass mowed, or is it more grass than they can handle?
Nope. They keep it all up in the front. Our backyard is like a, for the kids. So the rams don't go back there. We mow that, but all in the front pastures, they keep it all maintained, which is really nice.
So, if you were, guessing, just, what do you think, like how many rams can be on a 5-acre parcel?
Okay. So I think they had upwards of 10 total.
Okay.
They don't require, like, you can have several on each parcel. It's not like a cow
is that
requires
like,
more.
What's that guideline that you're referring to, the 10 per parcel?
I think it, well, that's what they had.
That's what the people that sold the property to. So they had 10 rams?
They had 10. They had 4 rams and 6 ewes.
And then were they exclusively ram people, or did they have other things going on?
And then they just have the chickens.
The chickens.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys keep the chickens?
We did not keep the chickens.
Are you going to add chickens?
So Kyle says no, but obviously I'm adding chickens. I have a whole chicken
coop. Do
you want
to go get eggs in the morning? Is that a big deal? Okay.
Yeah. So we have a whole chicken coop. In fact, the other day I walked the property, Dave and I. Okay. So another thing I've had to realize, like I'm going to have to take off at least a week come like true spring to get the barn reorganized, the coop ready. You know, this is
just
like
1 week.
I mean, at least a week. I work hard, you know. Okay, yeah. I can do this. But
seems like I'm just imagining.
You might take some off and come help me.
Right.
I might recruit.
I was thinking
you
could probably work on your property endlessly. If it's a normal piece of property.
Yes. But I mean, just to kind of get, you know, from the winter, and there's definitely things that I've realized, okay, that I would want to do different with the barn. But
sure.
The chicken coop, after they left with the chickens, I mean, I haven't really gone in there. There's nothing in there. But I opened it the other day and I was like, okay, I'm going to have to mask up and clean this whole thing out. And then maybe secretly start taking chickens in there so Kyle doesn't notice. Because he says no. And I'm like, this guy.
I think he'll probably notice pretty quickly.
You think?
Yeah.
Darn.
But, yeah, that's. It seems like a lot of people. I mean, even in Whitefish, where I live, they've had a few city council meetings that were entertaining because in the guidelines you can have chickens. And neighbors are like, I'm living in town. Why do you have, but because the laws were written back when you would want to have eggs.
Right.
It is written into the code of the city of Whitefish that you can have chickens and they can make noise in the morning and you can, you know, so it's normal. So I know, I think you're on good, solid ground to hold the line with the chickens with your husband.
I know. I mean, and eggs these days are really expensive.
Yeah. The other day they were getting outrageous, right?
I know. So, hey.
So would you classify yourself as a hobby farmer, hobby rancher? The reason I mention it is like I'm in the mortgage lending business and we have farms that will come up as something you can buy. And then we have hobby farms and then we have like homes and they're kind of three different brackets. And the idea behind the hobby farm is it's like a higher quality version of farming. It's not to just really be making your living farming and stuff. It's right. more just a lifestyle and a culture that actually adds value to the property. So these properties tend to be worth a little more because people are seeking this out.
Yes. So yes, I would say for sure more of a hobby farm ranch. If I had it my way, Dave, I would have. So
tell me the dream that you have this property in Flathead. It's 5 acres. You're going to maybe get some of these cows, these Highland cows out there. Like, what's the dream of it all? Like, what's it look like? Paint the picture.
Yeah. Okay. So if I had it my way, I'd have 100 acres. I'd have tons of animals. And like, that would be my job full time.
So this could be a step up the dream. Okay. But while you're fulfilling it here.
But we got to start small, right? Because we've not done this before, you know, like I became a ram mom overnight. But yes, I would say the biggest thing for us is just having that. I don't know. I think just working the land, working with the animals, it's just a different lifestyle, you know, having the chickens to provide our eggs and the milking cow. And the Highland is a little bit selfish just because I love them. So that I don't want to say as a pet, but kind of. But would love to have goats and every animal on the little farm or ranchette would serve a purpose. Like they are there to do a job, right? The rams, even though I don't plan to eat them, they keep the pastures, you know, down. So that really is our dream. I think now that we're here living that out, because we've never done that before, I mean, gosh, I would love having a ton more property and having a ton more animals.
So this concept is you started it and now it's growing on you?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
You want it more?
I want it more.
Okay.
My husband would kill
me if he knew that. I noticed with my wife and the horses, as she spends more time with it, it definitely is growing on her. So
yeah. I mean, it's just fun. You're constantly learning new things. You're outside. Like, there's just so much reward to it. Like, I love nothing more than getting home, throwing on my boots, and going out there and being with the animals. And it's just great.
Are you motivated by healthier eating and having like eggs on the property and maybe an animal that you occasionally will you ever eat one of your animals, or is that too weird for you?
No, it's not too weird for me.
Okay.
I don't know that I'd want a ram just because I'm not a huge.
But like if you raised a cow and then you could, you know, have a year's worth of meat potentially. So
yeah.
Will that be something your family does?
Potentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a combination it's not totally motivated in food though for you guys. It's more of the experience of raising the animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then with the acreage, that's probably max utilization of the acreage. You're probably not going to grow corn and stuff out there, or are you?
Are
you
going
to take a section of the property and grow food to eat?
So we do actually have a section of our property that is an organic garden. We didn't start it. It was started years and years ago, but it's a very mature garden, actually. So it has all sorts of things. When we moved in, it was kind of overgrown, like between when they listed it and when we actually moved in, they didn't really keep up with it. But it has all sorts of things. We have several raised beds. There's vegetables and fruit, and we actually have fruit trees. And so I think when they started that property, it really started off as having organic food, like living off of the land. So that is something that it definitely appeals to us. And it is a lot of work and I work full time, but
spring you might start getting into that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's why I gotta take time off. I gotta get my garden ready. I gotta get my animals all organized and
So now that you've acquired rams and you are in the process of learning how to raise rams, would you recommend rams to people, or is it just kind of a niche thing that you're like, I don't even know what to say?
I definitely wouldn't say it's a bad thing. It's definitely different when you don't raise them. I would say if you're going to do it when they're young, because I think raising them, there's so much more to it.
How old are the rams?
Zero clue.
Okay.
And honestly, they didn't even...
Do you know how old they get?
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't. I know horses get into their 30s.
Yeah.
And I don't know what goats and rams do, but...
I don't know actually about that.
You're going to find out.
I'm going to find out. Yeah. You know, I'm going to be an expert in rams.
Okay. And then, so you guys sought out a hobby farm, and then you ended up with one that had rams, right? Mm-hmm. So having gone through the experience of seeking out a hobby farm, any advice, anything you learned that you're like good and bad for, I know a lot of people want to do this.
So I would say the biggest thing, like for starters, we were looking more for the land and the ability to have animals versus having it set up. So as we were looking at areas, though, I will say we would look at like maybe one that had a 10-acre parcel. But if it wasn't utilized well, where you could easily fence it in for animals, or if it had no fencing, it was like, oh, we're going to have to do the fencing. We're going to have to build a barn. We're going to have to, you know, there's so many other things that you start to notice. This property really, everything fell into place for it. It already had it all fenced in. And while it's only 5 acres, it's not huge. The way the house is positioned, it definitely feels like a lot more property. And then just having it fenced in, having the barn and the barn stalls, it makes it a lot easier. So I would just say, like, you definitely need to know where you're at with it. Like, are you wanting to just try it out? Are you wanting to go all in? Because it is a lot, for sure. I mean, even, you know, during the summer, they graze and they're keeping the pastures down. But in the winter, you have to get hay. They can't. You know, like you have to figure out getting hay and how much are you going to need, and, you know, getting that well ahead of time before the snow flies. So there's just so many things. I think even with the rams, I thought this is going to be so easy. And then you move in and you're like, now what? So obviously there's probably areas you can be better prepared for. But I would say if you're looking for a hobby farm, definitely start looking for an area that you think is going to fit your needs best, unless you're planning to start from the ground up, you know?
Like, think about the care of the property and the... I noticed in Whitefish there have been a couple, like, little trophy ranches bought where you can kind of tell that they didn't know what to do next, because I saw one where they, like, got the hay done too late and then they just left it sitting out there all winter. And then so it probably just got, like... I don't even know what they did with it, but it's a beautiful house. But right. The property, I think they were like, oh, that...
Right.
we don't just look at it.
Right. Well, and I think that's honestly like one of the things that like you, it is a lot of work. Like it's not like you just say, come home and say hi to the ram and go to bed. I mean, you really do. There are more components to it. You know, when you have more land, especially our back area, like there's more to mow, there's more to maintain. You really do have to kind of plan out seasonally. Could we have done it a little bit better? Yeah. But I almost feel like jumping into it forces you to really figure out some of those pieces. I think I told you it was interesting. It was like late fall before the snow. My husband, you know, was working. It was at night and there was thundering and lightning. And our dogs were outside and my shepherd was in, she was in a crate out back and she was freaking out. And I'm like, what is going on? So I go out there and I turn and this like yellow eyeball is staring at me. And I'm like, oh, what in the heck is that? And I realized it was the ram in my backyard. So I'm thinking, like, one, how do they get out, right? And two, how do you get rams back in? Like, I don't know. They have these.
Yeah, that's true. With horses, you know, you put a halter on them and you walk. Like, what do you do with the ram?
Oh,
do you just throw a lasso around its neck? Or do you just encourage it to go where it's supposed to go? Or?
So I actually, it was literally like 11 at night. I had just jumped out of bed. So I threw on my boots and I grabbed a broom because that was like, the only thing near me that I thought, okay, at least if they turn to ram me, I have like something in between. This is when we were still getting to know each other.
Right.
So I went out and I started walking toward where the barn is. They had one of the interior barn doors had been left open. And so they got through. So anyway, they were following me. So I'm like, all right, this is good, whatever. All right, we're going. They were, my lab was with me too. And so they started to follow her. Well, then she turned fast and it scared them. So then they ran back out into my backyard and I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Like, this is going to be ridiculous. So I go back in and she goes into their area, the dog. So they follow her in. Well, then she turns again and one goes to ram her and I'm screaming. I have the stupid broom. I'm thinking, if they ram me, like, no one's going to know. My kids are asleep. My husband's at work. Like, this only happens to me. Like, what the heck is this? So I finally decide, like, okay, maybe I'll just go put the dog away. That way she's not, you know, getting in the way of it. And I grab some, like, alfalfa pellets and I just put them in, like, a little basin and I was, like, shaking it, trying to guide them in. They're all looking at me. And it was just the weirdest thing, Dave. I swear. The thunder's cracking in the background, so that's scaring them. I finally get them in there, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, that was just, it just the things you never thought right. you'd do, you know?
You have to figure it
you
out.
You got to figure it out. So there's just so many
pieces.
That's
what we do in the mortgage business. We figure you stuff figure out. We always find things that we're but that's classic. All right. Well, yeah. Any final things that you want to make sure people know about rams or hobby farms? And then I've got a closing thing that's a little different for
okay.
you, just to surprise you.
Uh-oh.
It's easy.
Okay. I would say, you know, if your dream is to do the hobby farm, like, go for it. You should do it. Obviously, the more you can research ahead of time, the better equipped you're going to be. But I feel like even with all of the things we've read about, you never really know until you're living it, you know. Find people that you can ask for advice. Our neighbor is amazing. Like I said, he grew up on a farm, so he's so helpful.
So one thing you mentioned is if you can buy this type of property with cool neighbors, that's a big win.
It's such a big win.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you can already get it fenced in. And, you know,
because you kind of need your neighbors a little bit, like your animal might go on a jailbreak over to their
yeah,
yard.
We yeah. had ours on a jailbreak and man, you just never know. honestly, like it's so good to have great neighbors and to just kind of, I don't know. And I will say a lot of this was things that I've dreamed up and God bless my husband because he is just like, all right. And he does such a good job. I mean, he really, I feel like formed a relationship with the Rams even quicker than I did. So
he enjoys the ride.
Yes. And you have to have that buy-in from everyone. I mean, honestly, because it's a lot of work by yourself.
Yeah. This is not suburban America. This is the other end of the spectrum.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, first of all, congratulations for taking the risk.
Thank you.
And being vulnerable to tell other people that you did this without having been properly trained in RAM management skills.
Yes.
But you're figuring it out.
We're figuring it out.
I think a lot of people figure things out and do just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
I think that's a Montana thing, too, is to just go for it, you know, get here and figure it out.
Yeah.
I when my wife and I moved here, we moved here, figured out how to get jobs. And then we figured out how to do everything. And then it sounded crazy to the people that where we came from that we went and did that. But everybody we meet in Montana, that's what they all do. They just get in here and they're like, all right, figure it out because I want to be in Montana. You know?
Exactly. Well, you know, my dad was a Marine. And he raised us really just, you got to grab life by the horns. You got to figure it out. Bite the bullet.
Literally grab it by the horns.
Literally grab it by the horns.
Ram horns.
Yes. So, you know, I don't know. I think anyone that knows me well, even though they know, you know, that this is not anything I've ever done. They're like, if anyone could do it, it's Jenna. Like, you would go buy a house with rams. I'm like, why not? Life's short, you know? You got to do this thing.
All right, I'm going to take you on a little diversion.
Okay.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Uh-oh.
There's only one right answer, and you may get the wrong answer, but just hang in there.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
So where I went to college, I went to the University of Colorado, and I actually grew up in Fort Collins, which was home of the Colorado State University Rams.
Oh.
So just a heads up, if you do need to part with one of the Rams, you could contact them and see if they would like a mascot.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they have a ram on the side of the field during the games. But at Colorado University of Colorado, we were the Buffaloes, and we had a buffalo.
That's cool.
So in the context of football, which is what it's all about when you're having these mascots and stuff, who's going to win, the Ram or the Buffalo?
I feel like the Buffalo.
Yeah.
I mean,
but you're dissing on your Rams, but yeah.
But you know, it's nothing personal.
So we all believe at the University of Colorado what you believe, which is that the Buffalo is superior to the Rams. Yeah. So I appreciate your humility. Yes. And not taking the Rams position just because you own one.
Yeah, so. No. I totally. I actually would love to get a Buffalo. How
cool. You know what that property may that would be. I probably you could do a Buffalo or two out
could
there.
Could have like one.
Yeah, I have no idea. Just down across the lake, they have a wild buffalo herd. You can go check cool. them out and see what they're all about. But
that would be awesome.
But people do raise buffalo. Domestically, yeah.
I think it's awesome.
That could be. And so the other thing was when you find that property, you might just go ahead and find yourself raising something that the seller is like, here's the property.
Exactly.
And it comes with a buffalo or a ram. Or
exactly.
A goat.
You never know what you're going to get, right?
Well, Jenna, thanks for being here. Yeah. Thanks for sharing your story. I think people will find it interesting. I know I had never heard of ram raising. In a domesticated sense.
Yes.
And so now I feel like I've learned something new and appreciate you bringing it to us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. I'll be back when I have more animals.
All right, we'll do a follow-up.
Awesome. Thank you.